Hello, hello. This is Ian, your binge-worthy guru, here with Binge-Worthy TV Watching, the show where you can figure out what show you should be binge-watching next. And I understand why you're here. It's probably because you finished binge-watching another show and you're like, hey, I want to find out something else to watch. What else do I want to watch? And you suddenly forgot that the last show you binge-watched caused you to miss a very important exam that probably would have gotten you into Harvard. So now you're, you know, cooped up in a corner somewhere and eating Skittles and popsicles and wondering if you're going to be anything because you're never going to get into Harvard because you missed that one exam because you're too busy binge watching a show when you should have been asleep. Not at all about me, just someone I know. But anyway, I digress. So this next show, it's on Netflix. And it's one of those shows that I mean, it's not like Netflix was advertising it that much. It's just something that I just stumbled across. I don't even think it was a, you know, on Netflix where it's like, you might like this show because you watched this. Like, I really don't know how I stumbled across this show. But it's moreover a horror series. And it's unique because there aren't really too many TV shows that are considered like horror or thrillers. And the ones that are, you know, in my opinion, aren't always successful. So, oh, I just thought about that. I'm going to write down another show because it just crossed my mind that it actually was a good show, but not for everyone. But anyway, this show is called, drumroll please, Slasher. I know what you're thinking. I thought the same thing, like, do I really want to watch a show that's called Slasher? And the good news is that the title kind of tells you what it's about. It is one of those gory shows that if you were into Friday the 13th as a kid or any of the shows like Saw or any modern horror shows, what's that Hostel, where, you know, they're just cutting people up and all that good stuff. This is a show that you actually will like. What I do like about Slasher also is that it's not just a show full of gore and killing. It has a distinct storyline. It wraps everything else up in a neat package where all your questions are answered at the end. We find out who the murderer is. So that's always good news. Another thing about the show that I like is that each season is distinctly different. Right now, I've only seen the first two seasons. I see that there is a third season coming out for 2018, but no date has been set. Or if there is, I don't see it yet. So you do have two seasons to binge watch. The episodes are about an hour long. And I believe both seasons were about 8 to 10 episodes. I want to say 8 episodes or so. The first season, I want to say I like the second season better than the first. But the first season centered around, before I even go into that, the cast of characters, the actors, I did not immediately recognize. There was one guy that was this black guy that was the love interest of the main character. I believe I've seen him in something, but I can't think of what it was. But I will say that a lot of the artists in the show I have not recognized. So that's another reason why I do, again, like these kind of shows, because, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't want to watch a show just because someone is, you know, that I've seen everything else in. It's always good to kind of see, you know, new talent, new actors and stuff like that doing their thing. So that's one of those examples. Oh, okay. I had to switch to IMDb to see who this guy is. So the guy that's in season one, his name is Brandon J. McLaurin. He does look familiar. He was in, I didn't watch the show, but The Killing, which I heard was good. Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce, Chicago Fire, Graceland. And then if you watch the show Unreal, he plays Dr. Simon on that show, which is currently on. So he's been in a few shows. So if you see him, you probably would recognize him. The main character of the first season, again, I don't recognize her. You know, but again, she did a great job. So anyway, let me tell you what the show is about. She basically lived in another city, and she had to come back to this town because a loved one passed away. And you know, she gets back, and then this unusual things start happening. Like stuff that to give you more backstory. Not only is she returning to a small town, she's returning to a small town where her parents were murdered. So that's how the story begins. Her parents are murdered. She's coming back. And then, of course, her past starts to haunt her. So there are certain things that are happening centering around her parents' murders that is causing her past to unfold. In addition to her past unfolding, there is a killer out there, a serial killer, that are killing people that appear to be associated with or surrounded by the fact that her parents were murdered. So is this a murder or revenge killing? You'll have to watch to find out. So what she does is she gets closer to trying to figure out who the murderer is. There are situations where the people around her loved ones that she's interacting with and rekindling with, because, you know, of course, some people never leave small towns, they all become suspects. So what I like about the show is that it's like a whodunit, and they do a great job of being very subtle and making you wonder, oh, it's this person. Oh, I got this person figured out. I know who did it. They did a really good job of, like, you're not knowing who exactly did commit the murders, but everyone was a suspect. So I like it for that reason. Again, and I tend to like gory type stuff. So, you know, the way each episode, the murderer kills someone, and it's all these intricate ways in which it's done. You have a lot of people that are like speaking about their past and making confessions and things of that nature about, you know, what they did that could make them appear guilty, or the role they played in, you know, different people being murdered or things that happened in the past. So I thought that also made the show, or made this particular season, really, really good. Again, the season finale, I was happy with who the killer was. I was also happy with, you know, how do I want to say that? The act of revenge, not only knowing why the killer did what they did, but also the killer and or someone else in the show getting their revenge or that kind of thing. Excuse me. And the way in which they got that revenge was also very cathartic for me. So that also makes a good reason to watch the show. Let me see if there's anything else I can say about it. I think that's it. It's a Canadian-American television show. So, you know, if you're into Canadian series, Degrassi and all those other shows that happen in Canada, you know, you'll like it. And at least I can say that for the first season. I'm not sure where the second one is been filmed. I'll look into that in a few moments. And then some of the keywords that kind of comes up when you're looking for this kind of show to give you an idea is, of course, murder, infidelity, betrayal. It has all of those things in it. It's very well acted. Not too many, you know, sex scenes or foul language. I mean, it's in there, but it's not that bad. A few sex scenes and that kind of thing. But the main purpose of this show is to show gore. It's to show some kind of, you know, killing of some sort or that kind of thing. And like I said earlier, it is an hour long show. This particular season debuted in 2016, around this time. Well, about in March 2016. And again, I liked it. I thought it was a really good show. Again, demographic. If you like scary movies, if you like scary shows, if you like gore, if you like horror, if you like suspense, if you like thrillers, if you like mysteries, if you like whodunit, this is the show for you. If you don't like too much gore and all this stuff, if you just want to skip to the end to figure out who did it and that kind of thing, this is not the show for you. So this is kind of a show that's different than other types of shows I've mentioned. I've been mentioning a lot of different comedies and things. This show is definitely a bit more darker. Again, I don't want to call it a drama, even though it's pretty much serious throughout. The best way to give you the genre for it is it really is a mystery. You watch the episodes because you want to know who the hell did it. That's the main driving force of why I went from episode to episode to episode, because I wanted to find out who the killer was as quickly as possible. I want to find out why the parents were murdered to begin with. I want to find out, you know, what role certain characters played in all of everything that was happening. I want to know why certain characters chose to help and then they end up dying. And I also want to know how this killer was going to creatively kill one of the victims. And lastly, I want to know which victim it was going to be in this particular episode. So those are all the reasons why I had to binge watch it. And those are all the reasons that I hope you binge watch it also. Again, it's on Netflix, and that is season one. Season two, again, you can watch it out of sequence. If you want to watch season two first and then one, you totally can, because each season is completely unrelated. Season two, I actually thought was very well done. It at the end of the second season, it kind of got I don't want to say it got predictable, but one of my theories on what was going to happen and how it was going to end, I think I figured it out like right around, let's see, it has like 8 episodes. I think by episode 6 or 7, I had an idea of who did it and why. But the reasoning was a little, it was a little off. But I mean, I was still a little bit surprised at the end, but I wasn't like jaw dropping, like, oh my God, I never would have guessed it. Because with this particular second season, there weren't that many characters to begin with. I think there were like 8 or 9 people in the cast. I mean, so you know it has to be one of them. So it was kind of easier to kind of guess the murders. Whereas in the first season, the first half of the season, you didn't know if it was just a random killer. In this second season, you kind of know that it has to be someone that is in this particular compound. So anyway, to give you an idea of what happens in the second season is you have a group of friends and they're coming back to this camp. And the camp, when they're coming back, they were actually camp counselors. Now, 5 years prior to them returning, there was a counselor that was murdered. And there was this whole whodunit as to who the murderer of that camp counselor was. You find out that these group of friends who were camp counselors who returned are somehow related. I'm not going to tell you how they were related, but they were related. They were related to this particular murder. There was also someone that took the fall for this murder, and you might think that that person is going to kill these people out of revenge. I'm not going to tell you yay or nay on that. That may be a possibility, may not be a possibility. But either way, that's what the show is about. So they get back. So they get to this compound. They get back to this camp, and it's like these. And please don't be offended by me calling the people hippies, but it's like the people that are the owners of the camp site is now like, I don't want to say a cult, but it's like they wanted to just kind of be off the grid and away from everyone and love on each other and, you know, not have a care in the world anymore, grow their own foods, you know, not eat meat, not curse, not be negative, not have weapons, all that good stuff. So you have these group of camp counselors. They're like maybe what, early 20s, mid 20s or so, meet these, you know, people who are like, you know, off the grid and all loving and positive. And of course, there's going to be conflict. You know, you have camp counselors that are like, you know, acting crazy and stuff like that. And then you have the people that were already there that are like, you know, they're like, be honest with us, you know, here, we'll give you all our food and, you know, everything is great. Life is wonderful. And then people start dying. And then you see how, you know, shit hits the fan really, really quick. Like, you know, no one is trusting each other. Of course, the people that were already there who purchased the campsite, they think the counselors have something to do with it, because they're like, you know what, the murders didn't start until you all got here. And then the counselors are like, no, it could be you guys, because you all are kind of crazy anyway with your vegan lifestyle and hugging everyone and being all super nice with your crystals and stuff. So they go back and forth and that kind of thing, but people are still dying and no one trusts each other. And then you get to a point where, to a certain extent, they ally and they think they know who did it, and guess what? That person either did or did not do it. I'm not going to give that away for you. And then towards the end, you kind of figure out, it all comes together. You understand how all of the people connected. You understand who would most likely seek revenge in this situation. And it all comes together quite nicely in the last episode. I didn't like the season finale. I liked it, because I still know who did what. And I can't tell you why I was a little unhappy, because it would totally give away who the killer is. And, you know, so I can't even say why I didn't like it. But when you see the end, you'll kind of understand my personality. You're like, okay, now I see why he didn't care too much for this particular season finale, because they did something that some shows do. I'll give you a hint. The movie Silence of the Lambs. That's all I'm going to say. And that'll give you an idea. And once you see the season finale, you're like, oh, okay. He doesn't care too much for those kind of, you know, shows sometimes. But even though that's not a good example, because Silence of the Lambs, that was like really, really good. And I loved every part of that. But you'll still get the correlation when you see the season finale. Season two has 8 episodes, again, 1 hour long. And it was just really, really, really good. It was a good show. It was just as gory as the first one, as the first season. So again, they stuck to the same plot. Not really the same plot, but they stuck to the same formula. Very formulaic show. You get here, there's a past, people start dying, we get closer to the truth, finally it's revealed, the big unfold, and then here we are. So it was good. So I think you will like that. I think I liked season two better than I did season one. And I can't give you a reason why. It's just something about the second season that was really good. But the season one just seemed a little less predictable. And it was a little bit more of a mystery to me. So you have to watch it for yourself. But anyway, I've talked too much. And I'm sure you're ready to go ahead and start binge-worthing this film. So this show. So again, this is Ian Caleb, your binge-worthy guru. Like I said, it's on Netflix. And you know what I always say. Happy binging.